Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, the breaking news on the XFL. At the least halting its operation, and unfortunately it sounds like maybe even beyond that, you know, folding up shop, had us push the movie club, each day watching a different film, talking about it, picking another movie here on Grant and Danny during the quarantine. So we will do that coming up at about 1:18, our daily movie club segment for you on G&D. But right now we are joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by our buddy Michael Lombardi, who writes at The Athletic and is a podcast, the GM Shuffle. Michael Lombardi, a regular here on the show. Really appreciate the time, as always. I want to start with you discussing Tua Tagovailoa on your pod recently. It sounds like you're talking with executives around the NFL, and not all of them are sold on his health, despite some of the videos showing that he's moving around pretty well. What can you tell us about the Alabama lefty?
Well, you know, I wrote about it, too, and what I said on the pod was simply this. Look, he can, you know, everybody can pass a physical, right? That doesn't mean you can stay, that you can continue to play and stay durable. You know, that's the question everybody wants to say, you know, he's going to pass the physical. Well, that's not really the question to ask. The question is you've got to be able to say, you know, is not is he currently healthy, but can he stay healthy? And based on the history and based on the injuries that he's had, you know, you've got to really question that. Now, look, I'm not disputing the talent of the player. 87 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. The guy's played wonderful. 32 career starts at Alabama, lost two games, you know, really only played, essentially, I mean, based on the level of comp, played in 18 games. But the reality here is you must analyze the injuries. The draft is about money. I don't know if anybody wants to talk about it this way, but it's about money. Talent equals money. I will pay more money for more talent. That's how the draft goes. You know, you want to buy something really expensive in the top five, you're going to buy something relatively cheap in the last five picks, right? It's all about money. And when you're concerned about durability as much about the ability, then I think your teams are going to say, look, there's a lot of risk with that pick. And then what I tried to write about and talked about on the pod was if you just go over the first round, in the history of the first round, go back to 2002, and you look at some of the names that have been busted, and you know, certainly there in Washington, you guys have seen them, whether it's been Patrick Ramsey or whether it's been, you know, Jason Campbell, or you're now hoping for Dwayne Haskins. Now, Haskins I put in a category that we just don't know. But for the most part, you know, you're sitting there wondering, is this guy going to be a good player? When you know 28 of the guys picked in the first round, of the 54 total, have been bust.
Michael, I want to get to the balance. And what I mean is, as a general manager, as a decision maker, where does the rubber meet the road in terms of, hey, the upside? Because you mentioned the talent is there for Tua, and I think everybody, somebody's going to take a chance on the kid. Where does that sort of risk-reward balance? Does it depend on team and context? Where does that line lay when it comes to the risk of him being re-injured and the reward of the tremendous upside that we all seem to be able to see?
Well, I think each club's got to make that decision, right? So when you go to the combine, every team is assigned a table in the orthopedic exam room. And usually there's seven teams at each table. And the player hops from one table to the next. So he doesn't have to go through 32 orthopedic visits. He just goes through basically four or five. And they go back and make a decision. And then the doctor comes in. He may say, hey, look, he's no risk. Some doctors may say he's a significant risk. And then, again, go back to money. Now the owners and the people that are paying, they got to make a decision. You know, when I was in Cleveland, we really loved Curtis Martin, wanted to draft him in the first round. But his durability and his injury history was a significant risk. So we couldn't. He went in the third. Now, do I think Tua's going in the third? No. But I think when you're sitting there with Justin Herbert, who a lot of people like more than Tua, even though the media doesn't like Herbert more than Tua, a lot of people in the National Football League who get paid to evaluate like Herbert more than Tua, it's a cleaner player. It's an easier pick. I said last week on my podcast, 2 weeks ago, I said that Herbert will probably get picked in front of Tua. And then I just recently saw NFL Network release their mock, and they had Herbert ahead of Tua.
Michael Lombardi's with us on G&D here on 106.7 The Fan. And we can come back to the draft in a second, but I actually want to double-click on Haskins with you and get a little bit deeper into that. You put him into that category of the unknowns with, you know, Baker Mayfield and a couple of guys that the jury is just still out on where you'll ultimately file them. I wonder what you've seen from Haskins, what you need to see from him, and kind of what your confidence level is in him as of right now.
Well, you know, I have a bias going in with Haskins because I really was concerned. I wasn't a fan of his coming out of Ohio State. I didn't think he had great anticipation. I thought he had the one flaw most quarterbacks never overcome. That's the ability to throw a receiver open. That's the ability to throw the ball before the receiver breaks into a cut. I think Jason Campbell had the same issue. I think when you look at today's quarterbacks, when you look at Jacoby Brissett, who we drafted when I was in New England, I think he has the same issue. There's a sense of timing. There's a sense of rhythm. There's a sense of feel that goes into this, right? And you got to have that. Haskins, I never saw that with him. So I'm a little bit reluctant to think he's going into that other category. That being said, you can always be proven wrong. I'm not steadfast in what I believe. I want to see it. I'm concerned about it greatly. And I've never seen a quarterback overcome it in my career. You either have it or you don't. It's a crib thing. When your mama lifts you, you got it or you don't. And I just don't see it with Dwayne. So I'm a little skeptical of that.
At M. Lombardi NFL, great follow for our guest. Michael Lombardi joins us here on Grant and Danny. This is, and I want to see what you make of this, Michael, someone that's been in and around the league for so long. I've kind of been stumping for, I don't know how good Dwayne Haskins could be. I do know that very few quarterbacks coming into the league have had to overcome as much as he will potentially in his first couple of years. How much of that should go into maybe patience or waiting for a larger sample? Or is it in your mind, listen, we'll be able to figure it out this year kind of no matter what, based on some of these things that you're talking about?
You know, my sense of it is look, the other problem I have with Dwayne is when I was out at Mamba Academy, you know, I watched and observed, and he was around getting ready for the combine. I just really think he needs a strong mentor in his ear to teach him about leadership, to teach him about hard work, to show him what hard work is. You know, I go back to the day when we were standing down there in Richmond and at the Patriots in 2014 with the Jay Gruden administration coach and the Redskins, and RG3 watched our team run gases across. And he told some guy standing next to me, he said, man, they're like a Catholic League school team. They take this serious. And then he walked off the field. Like, I think you're going to have to get somebody to teach him what it takes to be a great leader, to be the guy who can lead the team, who shows the most work ethic, who's mature. Now, all those things can come true. I'm a little bit hesitant that they will. But I think you've got to give that to him. I think there's a lot of intangibles that Haskins has to demonstrate off the field and on the field.
Michael Lombardi, G&D, here on 106.7 The Fan. Is Kyle Allen that guy who can teach him some of those things? I mean, he knows the offense a little bit.
He'll be there.
I don't know how much he's going to help with some of the other things that you talk about. I mean, there's actually speculation he could push Haskins this year. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's really plausible. I think when you look at Scott Turner, he loves them. Kyle Allen. Look, this offense that the Redskins are going to put in is predicated on throwing the ball before the receiver breaks. I mean, that's what it is. They're going to throw a lot of in cuts. They're going to throw routes that basically you got to go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you got to let it rip, and you got to let it go. And it's the Sid Gilman offense going back to the 60s that Norv Turner kind of started in Dallas. And then he kind of was in Washington when he was there. It's similar. There'll be some, obviously, wrinkles as time have changed. But I think he's going to have a sense of timing, a sense of rhythm to what he's going to do. And I think Kyle Allen already has the leg up on that area. Kyle Allen will manage the game. And I think if you're Ron Rivera, the one thing you want to do more than anything is not lose the game. You want to go into the game with the ability to not lose it. And I think that certainly, you know, Allen will give them that opportunity. It'll be an open competition. We'll see how it goes.
But don't they have to find out this year what Haskins has? I mean, to me, I got no doubt that Allen in that offense early in the year can give you a better chance to win. But I need to know at the end of season two, is Haskins the guy or he's not? And the better sample to figure that out, the better, because I'm not going to just get to the end of 32 games and say, well, it wasn't fair to him in year one because the coaches were fighting against the owner. It wasn't fair to him in year two because of the coronavirus offseason. Like, it is or it isn't. And then I'm moving on in year three. Is that crazy?
Well, I mean, look, you know, there's practice, too, that you're not subjected to, you know, so there's a lot you can learn from that. There's also meetings. There's a lot you don't know those. I mean, we always make decisions on players with about a third of the information, just the games, right? Just the games. We don't know what's going on in the meeting rooms. We don't know what's going on off the field. We don't know what's going on in practice. So there's a lot of data you're collecting that, unfortunately, Grant and Danny don't know and see. And it's not the team's job to give you the information that you need to see. It's their job to put the best player on the field because they got to stand up in front of the team. Just like in Chicago, you know, Matt Nagy's got to stand up in front of his team and say, look, there's an open competition. Because if he would have said MVP Mitch is the starter, there's no doubt, he loses his football team. He loses his team. And it's the same thing in Washington. Ron Rivera is going to do what's best for the team, not what's best for the media or what's best for people outside.
Michael, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man.
Can I make one recommendation? I think the movie people have to watch is As Good As It Gets, because Melvin Udall was coronavirus prepared before this all started.
He knew what to do.
That is a great movie, by the way. Jack is so good in that.
Yep, that's one I'd recommend. All right, guys, I'll let you go.
Thank you, Michael.
Be well, pal. There's Michael Lombardi. Always love having him on the show. We might have to throw that in the queue at some point. I am a big As Good As It Gets guy.
I think it made our nomination process once to this point, and then it got quickly rejected. But that's not an insult to it. Lots of great movies have been rejected. But I think it was in there one time.
The Movie Club is next right here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We will discuss Blank Check, which is an awesome movie from my childhood and probably yours as well, or many of you anyway. And then we'll pick a movie for tonight right here on The Fan. Last night's movie, Grant and Danny, welcome back. It is time for Movie Club. Blank Check, 1994, 1 hour, 33 minutes, a comedy, a crime, a family movie. This movie hit theaters in the winter of 1994. Very surprising that it came out around Valentine's Day, because that's normally when lower budget, you know, less successful films often hit the theaters, right around Oscar season. February 11th, it came out in 94. A young boy inadvertently gains possession of a check for $1 and learns the lesson that he can basically fill out checks when his grandma sends a check to his house for $11 when his dad has to fill it in for her. So he gets a blank check from a bad guy who runs over his bike, and he falls into $1 million and proceeds to spend that $1 million. Although, Danny, in the movie, his $1 million goes as far as probably like $100 million might take you.
Yeah, he bought a castle for $300,000. I don't know how believable that was.
Yeah, not all that much. He was unaware, though, that there are gangsters who are tracking him and chasing him, and they want their money back. And the only reason the check actually cashed at the bank is because
Bitterman made a mistake.
Just gotten out of prison. Had talked a banker into basically being on the take of some cash so he would cash his check the next day. The kid shows up, and the banker thought this is how this bad guy was getting his cash. But instead, the kid makes off with $1 million and then goes and has the best childhood ever. Learns some valuable lessons about what's important in life, how much he loves his family along the way. There is one weird thing about this movie, Danny.
Just one.
Karen Duffy, who is an FBI agent who's working at the bank undercover, who's smoking a pancake. By the way, you were right. She is the
girl
from Dumb and Dumber. Mm-hmm. So I give you full credit and a hat tip on that.
Come on. Let me do them, Lou. Like that lady. Right when she goes to the house?
Oh, that lady.
That's her.
Oh, I'm thinking, okay.
No, not Lauren Holly.
That makes sense.
She's the assistant gangster to the guy with the ulcer.
Yes, okay. Like the gas pills guy.
Yeah.
Guess okay,
100%, look, how do they know I got guests? They gotta be pros that lady.
I get that now. Good call by you. Damn, that's impressive.
Shea Stanley.
Very well done. She in this movie is, I don't know, probably like 30 or something.
Sure.
This kid is 11 and they're like going on dates and she's dressing up provocatively. Now she's trying to use him to get closer to his boss.
McIntosh.
Who she thinks is a bad guy, McIntosh. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like they do kiss at the end of the movie on the lips, which I thought was really weird. They have a scene in a fountain where they're both wet and she's hugging him. The whole thing is very awkward that this no one thought this was weird at the time.
Yeah, and a lot of things happen, as you alluded to, that are just so stunningly inappropriate. Like Tone Loc makes his entrance and sexually harasses three people on his way to the bank president's office or whatever the guy is.
That was really strange, yeah.
He's like, well, no joke. He's like, what's up with that? And it's like, oh, my God, stop touching women. It's inappropriate. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you have more thoughts on Blank
Check? That was my breakdown of the movie. It's a lot of fun. It's a wild 90-minute ride. Every kid who watches this movie wishes they were him. I would say that while it's weird for you and I, you don't know it's weird if you're a kid. So if you got like a 7 or 8 year old at the house, they'll love this movie.
Yeah, it got. I'm surprised at this. It got a 42 on Metacritic, and I'm surprised it's that high. This is bad. In every way a movie can be bad, this is bad. It's they took some of the canned formula stuff from like the things that were happening at that time, whether it was Home Alone, Richie Rich, or Problem Child with John Ritter and the kid that like was up to so much mischief. And they did that, and they kind of did this, you know, the limo driver's mean, like everyone's mean to him, and then he's got money, and then they did a Pretty Woman montage, and everything is just sort of canned and formulaic. The one thing I did enjoy, though, was that the dude, Miguel Ferrer, who plays Quigley, who's like the one-note bad guy, who just like tough-talks everybody, he was the witness in Traffic, who ends up getting poisoned as the star witness against Catherine Zeta-Ruye's husband, who's like the big trafficker guy.
And so this is Quigley. This is the felon. Okay.
Yeah, Miguel Ferrer is the same guy, and he breaks down the futility of what Don Cheadle and his partner are doing in terms of trying to stop the supply in the drug trade. And I always remember him for that speech, and then of course proceeding to be poisoned. But so that was neat to see him as kind of like the lead role in a whatever kind of movie this was. But
how terrible. Awful were his brothers, by the way? This kid's brothers. He's got these two brothers that like punch him in the arm, like
precisely.
Don't wipe it, baby. They're very, very annoying.
Because they come in and just allowed to take over his room, yelling at him, and like the parents don't do anything about how mean the older brother is. We're just supposed to accept that, and then they go away. It's bad from start to finish. No redeeming qualities, and I'm glad it's over.
Definitely advocate people checking this out. I'm going to give it 6 buffalo wings out of 10. How about you, Danny?
This is a 0 carbohydrates out of 10. This is iceberg lettuce.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
0 carbs for you.
This is no carbs. This is nothing but salads for 6 months.
Dar, you like movies from our childhood. What did you think of Blank Check last night?
Yeah, man, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it aged that well.
Doesn't age well. That's for sure.
I really thought Danny was going to say the one thing he liked was that it ended, and I was going to agree with him. Listen, it was good when I was like 10 and 12.
It's really good when you're 10, there's no doubt.
I kind of wish that Danny picked not the worst movie last night, so we could have enjoyed Heavyweights, which I know holds up well.
Does it?
It does. It's funny. Ben Stiller's really funny.
Don't worry. That list is coming back the next time I have to watch a Star Wars.
Oh, we'll get there.
Good Burger versus Heavyweights is going to happen at some point. So everyone can rest assured.
Did Kenan Thompson go straight from Good Burger to Saturday Night Live, by the way? Or was there a gap? Kenan Thompson in Good Burger?
I can't. He was definitely in Good Burger, but I don't know what his career line was. I mean, there was a Mighty Ducks 2 in there somewhere. Was that before Good Burger? Or
I have no idea. These are all gaps in my
knowledge.
I know
that when he became the superstar for SNL, that's when I was good on SNL.
Gotcha.
That's about the timeline. Right around then is when I said, you know what? There's a better way to spend my Saturday night than this.
I dig it.
We've gone from Adam Sandler and Chris Farley and, you know, John Belushi to Keenan. From Keenan and Kel. All right, Tom, you put the list together today. What are we working with here?
I did. It's a mixed bag. It's all on Netflix. And there is a series in today's list because it's a Friday, so we have a weekend.
I like that.
I've already seen it, but I really enjoy it, and I think that our listeners and you guys will as well. So
this gave us Tiger King last time Tom had this process, so I got no complaints there.
I would like to start with Brendan Dar today and then continue down the line as so. So the first movie is a Netflix original movie. It's a little on the psycho thriller side of things, but it's very, very good. The Platform.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with it.
Second is the series the circle?
No.
Okay, so forget the series. We don't have to worry about that. Crash.
Like the Oscar?
Yes, the movie.
Yeah, the worst Oscar winner ever.
Oh, no.
Okay, Goodfellas.
No.
Okay. Harold and Kumar.
Yes.
I don't even want to ask this next one because I know Dar's going to kill it off. Rosemary's Baby.
I'll say yes.
Okay. Space Jam.
Absolutely.
The Hangover.
Yes.
And because of Michael Lombardi, we're going to have As Good As It Gets on the list.
Ooh.
I mean, I want to say no, but I want to leave stuff for people to say no to later, so I'll say yes.
Okay. Grant, let's go with you.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, The Platform.
So The Platform, I will tell you, I don't know anything about it, and initially that would bother me, but after Thom got Don Verdeen on the board, and I really liked that, I'm going to say yes, because this could be a Thom special.
Okay. It looks interesting.
Okay, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
I will say yes to that.
Okay, Rosemary's Baby.
I don't know what that is, so I'll say no to that.
Okay, Space Jam.
No.
Okay, The Hangover.
Yes.
As Good As It Gets.
Yes.
Okay, Danny, you have four choices.
All right. Do you want me to nail down to two or three? Does it matter?
I don't think it really matters.
Okay.
The Platform.
I'll say yes.
Okay, Harold and Kumar.
I'll say no.
Okay, The Hangover.
I'll say no to that, too, even though I like both those films.
Okay, and as Good As It Gets.
Let's keep that as the two finals, Platform and As Good As It Gets.
Okay, we're going to bring Brock in studio to make the call.
Cookie, the fifth member of the movie club. If there was a sixth member, it would be Jim Mullins. But there really truly are five members at this point. The Duck has the power. He swings the gavel. He's the guy that makes the big decision. Cookie, are you there?
Yeah, Brock is here.
All right. The Platform or As Good As It Gets, what will we watch this weekend on Movie Club?
The Aviator.
You're pushing as good hard as it gets. For The Aviator.
Okay, so Michael Lombardi wins. He called Michael,
all you had to do was suggest it. He's the winner.
As Good As It Gets, and I have no idea how to find it, but I'm sure we can get it somewhere.
All right, very good. As Good As It Gets is the movie this weekend on the Grant and Danny Movie Club. Make sure you check it out. Next on GND in our final half hour on 106.7 The Fan, Tua Tagovailoa had his workout. You heard what Lombardi had to say. Is there any way, if he ends up being great, that we don't end up regretting the Redskins not taking him at number two? I want to get into that in our final 30 minutes on The Fan. The big news of the day is not good. The XFL shutting down its operation for the foreseeable future. It does sound like there will be a very skeleton collection of executives that will continue to work at the headquarters for the WWE in Connecticut, although Field Yates, while we were talking to Michael Lombardi, Danny, did make the announcement via his Twitter that he's heard from sources that there is, at least as of right now, no plan to play in 2021. So that's what they're hearing internally from the people at the XFL. This comes on the heels about a week ago when the XFL had its first press conference after canceling the rest of the season because of COVID-19 when they said they'd be fine. But look, it all comes monetarily. All the money for this league comes from the WWE. I mean, you'd have to imagine right now they're hemorrhaging cash. They're not doing their live events. They're not having all the people buying tickets to see them. They're recording SmackDown and Raw. I don't know if they're doing it live or on tape, but they're doing it at their own facility at this point. They just had WrestleMania and you know, one of the quirkiest, oddest ways in the event's history. So I'm not saying that wrestling is different than anything else, but I don't think business is booming, and that is the business that was paying for the XFL and presumably was going to have to wear a couple of years before this thing was profitable at least, and it got really hard to do that, I'm sure.
It certainly did. Again, things change. And I think when they initially made the announcement, Jeeps, of, hey, we plan on being back in 2021, I think they meant it. I don't think they were lying. I think, again, the world changes. You look at everybody's companies with the best laid plans, right? The first round is this. Well, hey, look at where we are now. Okay, the next round of decision made is this, and we're in for it. I think everybody's kind of understanding that, eyes wide open when it comes to that sort of stuff. We can get by for a few weeks, get by for a month, get by for two even. But now you start to talk about, you know, what's going to come out of this on the other side and where's the cash coming from. I certainly think that is the biggest contributing factor. This, to me, was all about this pandemic that we're all dealing with and very little else. I really do think there was going to be a season two, even though I don't know about the long-term viability, I've been skeptical. I've been upfront about that, of a spring league that's not directly tied to the NFL as a minor league system without subsidy from the owners, and there's not much incentive for them to start that kind of program at this point with basically what college football is. I've always been kind of skeptical of a spring league working, but put that aside for a second. I think this one at least had a season two in it, and that was taken away by this pandemic.
Yeah, I wonder when we look back just how different the sports landscape's going to be after the coronavirus. How much of the changes will end up being tangible and how many of them will end up, you know, happening behind the scenes to the point where people don't know them, right? I mean, you go into Safeway or Whole Foods or Wegmans to shop right now, they've made 150 changes. You might notice 10 of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
And I wonder when you watch football, and if there's no crowds, obviously that's one thing, but you know what you're going to see and what you won't. But there are going to be leagues that just fail to exist. By the way, we got your chance to win a Paisanos gift card coming up at 1:45 today in our final segment right here on Grant and Danny. You know, one of the leagues, and the major leagues are going to be fine, but one that has flourished so much that they won't really even feel this, at least financially, is Major League Baseball. And I saw some numbers come out according to Forbes on teams' value and what they're worth compared to a year ago. Mm-hmm. The Nationals, where do you think they rank among 30 teams right now in terms of overall value?
Instinctively, I would think the TV deal is just really hampering that value. So I would go 13th.
It's not a bad guess. They're 10th. They're behind the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Cubs.
No surprises there.
Kind of your
there.
Baseball immortals.
Uh-huh.
The Giants with the three championships in the last decade, very high on the list.
Huge
at
market,
Mets.
Very established, yeah.
Big
yep.
market Mets, Cardinals, St. Louis, baseball town. You got the Phillies, yep. great baseball town. And then the Angels ahead of the Nationals. Angels getting an outclaim part of L.A. The Nats are closing in on being worth $2 billion. In fact, if you look at growth from 1 year ago, at plus 9% growth, the Yankees and the Nationals, two of three teams that grew 9%. Now, I'm going to ask you an unanswerable question. There were three teams that grew as much as the Yankees and the Nats did at 9%. Who was the third team that grew by 9% in their valuation over the last year?
That is hard. Okay. Okay. So 9%. I'm guessing.
I mean, this will be the last team you guess, so just give me one guess.
Yeah, a team that's got room to grow that probably had nothing. I'll say the Rays.
Okay. How about the Baltimore Orioles?
I
don't understand how or why.
I disagree with that. I know that's information. I know you're telling me the truth. I just don't believe that for a second. I mean, I'm sure it's right.
I don't get
that.
What? Attendance way down. Nobody going to their games. Worst team in baseball all year. Picking
like,
first in the draft because
of
it.
Yeah, they're doing smart stuff. I mean, they're trying to be great. I got no problem with their approach, but they grew 9% last year? That's
wild. Can
you
believe that?
That's weird, man.
More than all teams but two. I say only, this is good, but it's still, you know, scary for these two teams. Two teams year to year saw their value decrease by 1% and 2% respectively. Which two teams in baseball last year saw their values go down?
Go down. Okay, I can think about this. I could do this. Teams went down. The Cubs.
Not the Cubs. We're thinking worse. So the Pirates, who had a debacle.
Oh, you went that. Okay. Because I was thinking a major team that took a step back and people weren't paying attention. But that's dumb. I should probably go minimalist. I'll say the Padres and I'll say the Pirates. You already said the
Pirates. It was the Pirates at 1% and the Marlins by 2%.
Ah, there you go.
Went down. Five teams saw their value remain unchanged. Diamondbacks, Tigers, Indians, A's, and Royals. But the point is, you know, if you look at Major League Baseball with the profits that they've made at record highs over the years, $50 million per team being made, an increase of 25% year over year in terms of just profits. The league feels like it can weather whatever storm's about to come. And that's great for Major League Baseball, and it's great for some of these major sports. But it is not the case for the XFL and some of these other leagues.
I wonder what this is all going to look like. You know, like give me the same chart on this day next year. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine just going through this tunnel, going through what it is now? Any business at any point, you know, like your balance sheet in January and February. Here's our first sales quarter, like conference call. Here's what we're looking at for quarter two versus, well, here's the actual reality of where we are. I wonder what everybody's balance sheet's going to look like. I mean, that's why I think Major League Baseball, and I get why. That's why I think they're so in a hurry to try to figure out to get something on the field. Obviously, you have to do it safely. Nobody's saying you don't, but I think they get that. time away is really, really bad, right? Because some of these valuations, at least from an owner's perspective, very real. I mean, you could be talking about a huge percentage of net worth and things going down, and who knows how long it takes to recover.
I look at the Nats. I see them in the top 10. I see them cruising toward $2 billion, and I got to tell you, I know this is just short-sighted and it's not causation. It makes me kind of mad that Anthony Rendon left. That's my thought.
I hadn't thought of that at all.
Why not? I mean, can we sign a superstar, please? Can we keep the guy around? I know they believe in pitching and they kept Steven Strasburg, but would have liked to have kept both of those guys. Although I guess it doesn't matter if you're not playing any baseball games.
Right, then it's a stroke of genius if you knew this was coming.
Yeah, how about Rendon will be a year closer to free agency and have made his money, quote-unquote, this season, I suppose, with the Angels, and he's 1 year closer to being, you know, at the end of the road. 800-636-1067 is the number, that chance to win the Paisanos gift card next on G&D. End of this segment, end of the show, we are giving away a gift card to Paisanos. If you're listening, we'll tell you how you can win that, so that you can get yourself some grub with the fam without having to leave the house, which is what we're all trying to do right now. Danny, I got a text from our buddy Nate up in New York. He called us and told us, and New York's just getting crushed the last few weeks by what's going on by this pandemic. I mean, went to the store and had some issues. This was sports-related, which was good, because I don't want any of that scary news from Nate up in New York.
We don't need that. We don't need the doom and gloom.
But he's on the phone with us, just called in, and is in the Big Apple. Nate, what's going on, dude? How are you?
Hey, boys. I'm still alive. That's the good news. I'm still here. I'm still
nice.
With it.
Still standing.
That is good news. You're still eating whatever you want and drinking whatever you want, or have you started to behave yourself a little better?
So that's a very good question. So my 7-Eleven closed, and I thought that was the sign I should stop eating the family packs of M&Ms every day. But then I found this place that does carry out down the street from me, and they give you a bottle of wine with your meal. They're like, you want a burger and fries? All right, cool. Here's a bottle of wine with it. So I've been doing that about four times a week now, and so I'm drinking a bottle of wine a day now.
That seems like a lot of wine.
Isn't it like a glass a day normally is good for you? So I'm sure like a bottle
fine. The antioxidants, Danny, it's good for you. That's my exercise. The antioxidants help your amoebas get stronger.
That's the key.
All right, Nate, so ask Danny. You texted me a question out of the blue the other day, and I gave you my answer, and I think you hated it. But you can ask Danny question as well.
Is this the free throw question?
No. This is even better. So I'd like to preface this with Grant's answer makes him the biggest ding-dong brains of all time.
All right.
Would you trade the number 2 overall pick in this year's NFL draft to not have Dan Snyder be the owner of the Redskins anymore?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Anything short of an actual homicide, anything that I'd have to do legitimate jail time for, I'd be willing to do.
Dan,
years ago, Steinberg posted this thing, and he thought it was a ridiculous question. And Grant couldn't believe that I said, yes, I'd go without Redskins football for 5, 6, or 7 years if it meant that he wasn't the owner and we just had a chance that it wasn't him. Of course I'd give that pick up.
Danny, I would give up every first-round pick until Dan Snyder died, so 40 future first-round picks, to not have him be the owner anymore. And Grant said he wouldn't give up this year's first-round pick.
He wouldn't give up this year's. I know how he thinks, and he just doesn't play this kind of game. But
yeah,
to me,
I don't really. You're right.
I do.
Yeah.
I do the most.
Can we stop talking about, like, you guys are talking about him dying and all these things? He's a young man. It's not necessary. Like, I know you don't like him, but it's fine. It's just a football team. But here's the question. Would you give up the 2nd overall pick to have a new owner? Let's just say he gives the team up and someone else comes in and takes over. And I say to that, no, I want a great football player in Chase Young, or I want a quarterback if they love Tua that they take it to, or I want to trade back and get a boatload of picks. But, Nate, I've said this to Danny for years. Like, I don't allow my feelings towards Snyder or Peter Angelos or any of these guys to, like, impact how I feel about the team. I lived for 27 years not seeing any of my teams have any modicum of real success, and I still enjoyed the games and still enjoyed the sport. So I'll find a way to enjoy it.
Grant Paulson, you're giving up any future of ever winning a Super Bowl for one player. We will never win a Super Bowl as long as Dan Snyder is the owner. There's nothing in the last 2 decades of his ownership that says otherwise. Nothing changed when he brought in Gibbs. Nothing changed when he brought in Shanahan. Nothing changed every single time he said, oh, I'm going to step away. I'm going to be hands off. What did he do? He brought in Vinny Serrato. He brought in Bruce Allen. Nothing is going to change. You're going to have the wool pulled over your eyes for the next 3 decades in hopes that we get
my eyes are wide
player.
Open. I got no wool, man. I'm not expecting them to win. But two things. One, by getting rid of Dan Snyder and having a new owner, if he sells to someone else, you've got no guarantee. There are teams that have never won Super Bowls
for
50 years. What's that?
It can't be worse.
I'm not saying that, but winning a Super Bowl is hard. And I also think you could win with him. I'm not saying you can win sustainably or that you'll win several times or that you'll have a good culture or anything, but you could luck box your way into a 9-7 New York Giants run with Dan Snyder as an owner at some point, which is kind of the only hope, I think, for Redskins fans.
See, for me, Nate, it's personal. I despise the guy, but I also fully acknowledge the data set we have. He stinks. He's the worst. They'll never win with him in charge because that's what the data said. So I'm willing to, of course, do that. I would do that in a heartbeat. I know there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that any player you pick turns out well, but there is a sliver of chance, and that's why we hold these rituals every year. Hope you stay safe up there, dude.
Grant, what would you give up, and thank you, Danny, to get Dan Snyder to not be the owner? Like, what's your basement?
I'm not even concerned by it. Nothing, probably. I mean, it annoys me. I hope he sells the team. I would like for him to sell the team. That's as far, like, that's what I would give up. Hoping that he sells the team.
I'm so perplexed by you right now. Like, we just know that we'll never be the Patriots or a Green Bay Packers, a Pittsburgh Steelers ever again. We'll never be one of those top-tier elite type of NFL franchises that we once were as long as he's the owner.
Yeah, I've felt that way and known that way since, like, what, 2001? 19 years of knowing that? I guess I'm just beaten into submission. Hey, we're up against it, though.
Maybe.
We got to go, and I got to say goodbye, but we do want you to stay out of grocery stores and stay in your house.
All right, I love you guys.
All right, love you, too.
Love you, Barstool. Be well.
Nate up in New York, who is trying to get by like the rest of New Yorkers. What a crazy time
seriously.
That state right now. Right now, our
nuts.
Friends at Paisanos going to get you a gift card for $25. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning the gift card. Paisanos wants to make some of the work easier for you and take the work out of working from home with their work from home. Buy one, get one. Sunday through Thursday, buy any large pizza at regular price. Get a large pizza of equal or lesser value. Order online and use promo code WFHOBOGO. That's work from home. BOGO. Another week of shows in the books, Danny. I would say happy Friday and enjoy your night, but happy next day that's on the calendar and enjoy your night.
Yeah, happy doing this tomorrow without actually having to work the same way. I mean, good Lord, it's all the same. Cue the Eric Pickle sounder. Every day is the same.
What is your dinner plan tonight?
I actually don't know. We might do a Paisanos bit, actually. We'll do a little
really?
BOGO action. We might do that. Seriously, we're in between grocery deliveries, so that might be the play.
All right, not bad. We've got some fresh Hello Fresh at the house.
Oh, hello.
So I think we've actually got some flatbreads or some type of steaks that we're doing Hello Fresh style.
Enjoy yourself.
Thanks to Tom and Brendan, as always, in our DC studio. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks for listening. Back at it Monday at 10 a.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.